Two quick polls are giving Senator Joe Biden the edge over Governor Sarah Palin in last night's vice presidential debate. How will last night's face-off affect the election in November? And the U.S. economy lost about 159,000 jobs last month, according to the Labor Department. What do those numbers mean for our sputtering economy? We turn to our reporters' roundtable for answers. And with us today is Theola LeBay-DeBose, a staff writer for The Washington Post, and Greer Holmes, a public affairs reporter at WRVS-FM in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Hi.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us on News and Notes. Well, let's talk about the big news of last night, the vice presidential candidates finally squaring off in St. Louis, both contenders. Of course, we had Senator Joe Biden and Sarah Palin. We heard from Farai. How do you guys, or ladies, rank the candidates' performances? Why don't we begin with you, Theola?
Well, I thought that both of them did very well in terms of avoiding the pitfalls that they could have fallen into going in, Senator Biden being overblown and Sarah Palin just sort of looking dumb, you know, given her performance in some media interviews in the past couple of days. I don't think that it was a big game changer in terms of independents making up their minds. It was almost like a draw in terms of nothing really changed except that we got to see them both perform.
Mm. Greer, you agree?
I agree 100%. It just seemed like everyone was having a very carefully orchestrated, you know, conversation where we're not going to step on each other's toes, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, both candidates really tried to appeal to the middle-class voter, with Governor Palin saying that John McCain had picked her for more than her executive experience.
Oh, I think that was pretty obvious.
We have I think we have a little clip that we're going to play about that. So let's hear the governor.
Being a mom, being one who is very concerned about a son in the war, about a special needs child, about kids heading off to college, how are we going to pay those tuition bills, about times in Todd and our marriage in our past where we didn't have health insurance, and we know what other Americans are going through as they sit around the kitchen table and try to figure out how are they going to pay out of pocket for health care. We've been there also, so that connection was important.
And I also want to have you listen to what Joe Biden had to say, too. He also referred to his middle class roots during the debate.
Look, the people in my neighborhood, they get it. They get it. And they know they've been getting the short end of the stick. So walk with me in my neighborhood. Go back to my old neighborhood in Claymont, an old steel town, or go up to Scranton with me. These people know the middle class has gotten the short end. The wealthy have done very well. Corporate America has been rewarded. It's of time. We change it. Barack Obama will change it.
Now, both of these candidates are really stressing this point and really appealing to middle-class voters during the debate and throughout the election. Why do you think this type of appeal is so important during this election? Greer, let me start with you.
I think that because at some point during this process, they kind of lost the middle class. And then that became a pivoting point because then they tried to show that one party versus another wasn't addressing those real issues, and because corporate America's issues kept coming forward. And I believe that now they realize that the people who really need to be cared for are the ones who are going to be coming out voting en masse, because some of the issues as far as bailout, when they have issues, no one's bailing them out. When they were hearing about foreclosures, there was no real conversation about making sure that they themselves weren't going to lose. And so now it appears that they're realizing that, you know, America as a whole needs to know how their needs are going to be addressed, you know, from a different level, because we've addressed everyone else's. What about ours?
I agree completely. I mean, at this point, anybody who appears to have a bit of money is a target. Look at the economy. Look at the price of groceries. Every American right now is just clutching their pocketbook a little bit closer. And even though folks like Sarah Palin and Senator Biden, even Barack Obama, that's why the whole comments from John McCain about, I don't know how many homes I own, It really has to come back to ordinary people paying their bills at the end of the month. Do they have enough money for that? And if they don't, they would like the person or people who they elect to basically help them with that.
One last question about this vice presidential race. We had a new poll come out. 51% of those polled said Biden did the best job, 36% for Palin. On the other hand, the respondent said that Palin was much more likable. Think those those perceptions are going to have much effect? Only have a few seconds here. In fact, Greer, why don't I ask you that? You think that's going to make much impact on this election?
I really don't, especially since we're going through this whole economic, how are we going to resolve our issues? We like you, but can you do anything for us?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really going to be the big issue, especially because of how, you know, things have been handled. You know, we can love you, but are you really going to address our issues? I believe that's America's bottom line.
Well, I'm going to ask both of you to stick around for a few minutes while we take a break. We'll be back to continue this conversation. This is News and Notes. I'm Cheryl Corley. We're back with our Reporters Roundtable with Greer Holmes, a public affairs reporter at WRVS-FM in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and Thiola LeBay-DeBose, a staff writer for The Washington Post. So let's jump right back into this. Ladies, yesterday the McCain camp announced it was pulling out of Michigan. The state has voted for the Democrat in the last four elections, but it was considered a swing state this time around. So what do you think this move shows about McCain's campaign's viability? Thiola, why don't we begin with you?
To me, it just looks like they're nervous, but that they're actually admitting that. At the same time, we've also seen McCain take some very public moves over the past few weeks, suspending campaigning to come back to Washington, first not criticizing Gwen Ifill and her objectivity, and then suddenly, you know, coming back and saying, oh, she's biased, and now this. So on some level, this is the latest series of sort of strange decisions, and not quite sure what to make of it, except it would appear that basically, you know, they're saying, okay, we need to concentrate on places where we could actually lose, but then this one, we know we will lose, so there.
Well, of course, the big issue with Michigan is it's struggling with the nation's highest unemployment rate. The economy is the top issue in this campaign. Greer, why hasn't McCain been able to connect with voters and gain ground on this issue, or do you think he has?
I don't think he has. That's just my opinion, because he has made some of the strange moves. He's also has basically let everyone know that, you know, his price point is very different. When he's talking about middle class being 5 million and under, and then you have to go to a state where people are saying, we just want to be employed, I don't think he feels that he can connect on that level. Even with, you know, the perception that he's willing to go out and bail out large corporations, but I think in a way pulling out of Michigan is almost saying, I guess, you know, we are not going to win because we don't have your agenda in mind.
Well, speaking of bailout, the House of Representatives has been started earlier today in kind of its round two to pass that massive financial bailout bill that it defeated earlier this week. And at the time of us speaking, the lawmakers hadn't really voted on the measure. What do you think changed the bill to gain support in the House, though? Thiola, what's happened there?
I think that it's clear that the price of inaction was not going to win anyone political votes, either in Washington or back home. The interesting thing about this bailout, Cheryl, is that the second time Bush got back on television, not the first time, but then the second time after the bill was initially voted down, President Bush started to call this a loan and not a bailout. And it just made me wonder, had this been called a loan the entire time, and if the American people had the sense that their tax dollars would be paid back, would this have gone differently?
So you're saying it's about semantics?
I'm saying it's about Americans, just like Greer said earlier, really wanting to know what are you going to do for me and my issues? You know, you tell me that these big companies lost money and that they took my mortgage and then chopped it up and sold it. Okay, that's fine. However, should we just, on the first try, really basically give this, you know, hard-earned taxpayer money away? I think that in some sense, the action had to fail initially just so that that could engender conversation about these hard questions, which would then give the legislature the political capital to now say, okay, I will support it, because if this goes on any longer, people will get hurt.
Mm-hmm. So let's say the bill passes, which it's looking like might actually happen. How does it really help the economy?
That actually remains to be seen. No one really knows. I mean, obviously, a lot of this, you know, the stock market going up and down, it's about confidence. It's about emotion. The funny thing is, we're talking about dollars and cents, but at the same time, when you have the largest one-day sell-off in history, it's just really about people's confidence. And so in some sense, if the bill is done, taken care of, Bush sort of gets this done as one of the last big things under his tenure, then I think that Americans will be looking to the next president to basically be the steward of this process and then to make sure that it gets implemented correctly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to take you to a story about figures and numbers, a different one, but a related one. The Labor Department numbers released today show that September saw the biggest drop in joblessness in 5 years. The economy lost 159,000 jobs last month. Unemployment is now at 6.1%. So how's that going to affect the confidence in our economy?
There is no confidence right now. No. I would say that. No. I think that, you know, to me, the funniest line last night from the debate was Sarah Palin talking about go to a soccer game and then you'll hear people talking about the economy. Now, I'm sure that
she said that they would be afraid.
Yeah. I'm sure. I think that there's not soccer in Alaska, I can tell you in D.C. that is what people are talking about,
and around the water cooler, around all over America.
Absolutely.
So we saw the service sector, construction, manufacturing sector, all saw big drops last month. What kind of ripple effects will these kinds of losses have on the economy?
I think they're going to be very impactful. Just the idea that small businesses are going to be unable to keep their money afloat because of their process of having to get loans and being able to pay employees. And then you also have so many things are dependent on everything else, transportation. There's so many real critical areas where if one falls, it's like a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And with the economy, at some point, we have to – I think America is really looking for just some really hope at the end of this, a very long, very dark tunnel. And when you're talking about helping, like, the families and trying to get industry going back, right now it's going to be kind of hard because we don't even see where there's, you know, if we keep dropping off, you know, when is it going to start coming up? We don't even have a clue as when the upsurge is going to be coming.
Well, I want to keep the issue on jobs and the economy because earlier this week, President Bush signed a spending bill that included a lifeline to struggling U.S. automakers, $25 billion. That'll allow the automakers to get government-guaranteed loans to kind of retool mm-hmm. their factories to make fuel-efficient cars. We only have a few seconds left. But how has this latest credit crunch affected domestic car manufacturers? Are they really just struggling right now, and is this going to help?
They are struggling completely. I mean, obviously, the car is as American as apple pie. Ford, you know, all these guys, Detroit, Motor City. I think that, honestly, the word bailout should be banned. Every single PR person should just sort of brand it differently here. But I think that it is no surprise to anyone that the big three are in trouble. I mean, basically, any large titans, including the U.S. economy and Wall Street, titans it across all sectors are just very weak right now.
Mm-hmm. They're falling.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to leave it on that less than optimistic note, ladies. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Theola LeBay-DuBois, a staff writer for The Washington Post, Greer Holmes, a public affairs reporter at WRVS-FM in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.